building faith in the future. What's the point, really? I mean, climate change has already passed the tipping point. The oceans are filled with pollution. The water is all terrible. We aren't going to have enough quality food to feed people. Everybody dies. The sun is going to nova. What's the point of getting out of bed in the morning? No less believing in a future, no less having faith and building faith in the future. It's all absurd. It's all Sisyphus. We push that stone up the hill and it rolls back down and it rolls deeper and faster in every year, not just as we age, though that does seem to have something to do with it, but deeper and faster, and it's harder to push it up the hill, to get excited, to get enthusiastic, to have faith in the future, because all of the doomsayers, some of them on the left and some of them on the right, say, it's too late, repent. So what shall we do with that good advice? We could self-medicate. We could self-medicate with alcohol and pills. We could just go to bed, turn the electric blanket up to 9 and assume the fetal position and wait for the end to come. We could just cry ourselves to sleep every night and just bathe in depression and give up on all of it, because when you look at Sisyphus, the world is absurd. Or when you look at Sisyphus, the world is really pretty wonderful. The fact that we have to do things over and over again, the fact that the world needs to be saved in every generation, the fact that democracy needs to be saved at every election, gives us a reason to get out of bed. The fact that we never finish it, that we never get it right, that it never gets done, why would anybody be depressed about that? Now, I don't want to make anybody embarrassed here, but how many of you had a shower before you got dressed to come to church this morning? Just roughly everyone, yeah. And how many of you are going to get dirt? Well, okay, a sponge bath for the teenagers. How many of you are going to get dirty again and need to take a shower? I think that would be all of us. The fact that we have these repetitive actions that we have to do, that the world needs saving, that the oceans need cleaning, that we need to be involved in the world, in stopping pollution, in being able to feed people, and in being able to rebuild and protect our world, is not an absurdity that should make us depressed. It is an absurdity in the classical philosophical meaning of it, existential meaning of it, that should get us excited, because the world needs us. Life needs us. We need to build tomorrow, and we build tomorrow based on what I'm going to call ordinary language faith. I'm not going to do my usual dissection of the original meaning of faith as knowledge, but I'm going to use it just the way we normally do. Most people inherit their faith and their faith tradition. For most people, it is a legacy that is not examined. I am a this. My parents were this. I may have moved denominations only slightly, but that's still my underlying faith. And most people believe that that faith is based on belief in a particular divinity, a very particular divinity, because every other divinity up until the point that I got mine has been silly, superstitious, and wrong, but mine is finally right, and mine is finally eternal, and I am confident in my divinity, and you better be confident in my divinity also, or he, usually a he, will damn you and will burn you in his loving kindness. Now, I have a little problem with this, because it's, to me, pretty bad and weak theology, and makes a monster out of the idea of God, and makes faith a kind of Stockholm syndrome, that you better worship God, because if you don't, he, and it's usually he, can do really bad things to you, not just in this life, but forever. And forever can last a really long time. Longer even than conceivably this sermon might seem to last, showing the whole truth of relativity of time. That whole theology of punishment and loving kindness is so filled, particularly for Unitarians and Universalists, with contradictions and absurdities that I hate to kind of go negative on the opposition here, but most of the theologies pose a God that I would not want to do lunch with, no less spend eternity with. When my friend at the Graduate Theological Union said, "John, I'm so sorry you're going to burn in hell," I joined him in his sorrow. But I asked him if he would burn me in hell, and when he said no, I said, "So you are actually more loving and forgiving than the God whom you worship." And his eyes started to spin counter in different directions, because most of the time our theologies and our faiths are not examined. And when we think about our theologies, we don't take them for what I would take them to be, which is pretty dense poetry and metaphor. We take them as if they were actual things and actual ologies. That gives it a kind of scientific sound to it. But our faith, to me, is not about our theology. Robert Heinlein, a good example of somebody I really like, with whom I do not agree about everything, certainly not politically, but wrote, and I'm paraphrasing, that theology has the same relationship to religion that history has to what actually happened, which is none to speak of. Theology doesn't really tell us anything about what informs our hearts and our souls. What makes us get up in the morning despite all of the challenges? What makes us get up in the morning sometimes because of all of the challenges, because the world still needs us, because we still need each other? My faith is not an inherited faith. My denomination might be, my metaphorical system might be, but my faith is composed of two things. One is what I learned and observed as a child, how people actually act. Not what we say we believe, but what do we do? Not what we say we support and affirm, but how do we support and affirm things? When I grew up, there was a little jar. It was called a pushka, sitting on our dining room table, and every meal we put money in it. The kids did, as well as the adults, to go outside of our homes. We have our food collection not out in the hall, but here for the kids, but also for the adults, to remind ourselves that we are not alone on this planet, that what we do is an action of what we believe. So I inherit some traditions, some rituals, and when I examine them and make them mine, they become part of my faith, part of what motivates me. And when I act in the world and I see how people react to these things, my faith is built, and other people's faith is built by what we actually experience. It isn't about simply opinion or belief. It's about how we encounter the world and our transactions in the world. There's a great pseudo-dispute that was mischaracterized the distinctions between Roman Catholicism and Protestantism. And it was, are you saved by your faith or are you saved by your works? With some being misrepresented. Remember, all the lies and distortions of the current political system have been going on forever. So when you read a lot of history about religious disputes, understand that each side is oversimplifying and mischaracterizing the opposition. So when you read about works versus faith, that no matter what the good things you do might be, unless you believe right, you're going to be burned in hell. Our faith and our works are inevitably related. If our faith, how we have examined values that we put into the world, are not in fact put into the world, it's not faith. It's a surface opinion, it's a word, it is parroting some kind of belief that was handed to us. It is when we examine our assumptions and we find out what fills our hearts, what makes our eyes shine, why we get out of bed in the morning to engage the world and then actually do it, that our faith becomes action. And it's inseparable. Inseparable. I can't put them into different categories, or I make them both meaningless. We build a future when we care about things and act on it. Our Unitarian great Harvard theologian, James Luther Adams, one of the many Unitarian Adams in our history, including Doug, whose service was this week, including John and John Quincy, and Henry. James Luther Adams said, everybody has motivation that fills them with something. I don't know what somebody's faith is by what they say. But if you give me a week with anyone, I will be able to tell you what their faith is. I will see what makes their eyes shine, what fills their hearts, what turns their faces red with rage, what makes the veins on their necks distend. Those are the great motivating parts of how people view the world and how the world touches, inspires, depresses, pushes away, gathers us in order to be a part of life. James Luther Adams was on to something there. Look, don't simply listen. And service is our prayer. We build a future and we build a faith in the same way, by believing that what we do and what we choose makes a difference. It's fine to pray. It's fine to look inside and meditate and think about what our values are. Think about what we really want for the world, and to think about how to make those things more likely because we are alive in this moment. The great song that the choir did, it's the give us strength. It's not simply praying, oh God, merciful Father, please feed everybody. Oh God, let there be peace. Got to finish it. And let it begin with me. Because if we're just praying for deliverance, I don't think we're really going to fill our hearts, because we're not going to be filling our world with action and with change. To understand how deeply we are related is to the power that we have to excite, to involve, to confirm, to add to somebody's faith. You know, I'll tell you, ever since Eleanor Rigby and Father McKenzie writing the sermon that nobody hears, no one draws near, every clergy person in the world has said, why am I spending 20 hours working on this? Who's listening? What difference does it make? at some point. We don't say it every week or we just fall apart and the sermons wouldn't get written. But everyone has asked the question in the clergy world, as everybody asks the question in the secular world, which is, what are my choices, what difference are they making? What are my sacrifices doing for the world? How is my love changing the world? How is my anger motivating me to something positive as opposed to something negative? And the answer is that it's not all of the time. But we build a future and we build a faith when we believe that our lives make a difference. When we believe that our examined values make a difference. We build a future classically, not simply when we examine, because examination can also lead to doubt. And as I think Alfred North Whitehead, no, maybe it was Bertrand Russell, said, doubt is the handmaiden of truth. Because we don't get truth, our own truth, until we doubt those things and examine them and make them our own. So we build our faith in our actions that are faithful to our values. We build a faith for the future when we think that there are people who can be helped by being taught computer skills, that can be helped by having their resumes worked on, being clothed in a way that they could go to a job interview and have a chance of succeeding in all of the ways that career-wise exemplifies faith in action. Is everybody saved? Is every client going to be a success story? Will there be times when volunteers just go, oh, of course. But so many people are touched. And so many people who do the touching, our faith in the future is confirmed. Our faith that our choices make a difference are confirmed. Little things mean so much. Yesterday, after the service that I conducted, Doug's widow belongs to the Episcopal Church, and a lot of their people were at the service. And I got three letters from different people from her church saying thank you. Little things confirm the work that each of us does. Little thank yous, little pieces of recognition, little reflections that those things that we do as we engage the world make a difference not simply to the person whom we are serving, but a good difference to ourselves, that we are, most of us, energized and our faith built and confirmed when we believe enough in tomorrow to do something today. And I think that faith and faithfulness at their finest are being involved in life, in taking our examined values, putting them into action with passion as well as some humility, and knowing that we are, for this brief time in this wonderful world, in this together to make a difference. I don't much care about the metaphors that people use to express their relationship to what they consider to be divine. I believe that we do not have to think alike in order to love alike. I believe that if you believe in no God, you can be as good a person or a better person than many who say they believe in some God. I don't think that those are the important distinctions in humanity, just as I don't think that the melanin content of our skin is an important distinction. They are distinctions and they can be enriching, but they are not intrinsically more important than how we serve life, how we try to make tomorrow better than today for those people on this planet who have to breathe the air. who have to drink the water, who would like a forest to be able to walk through, who would like streets unlittered by broken bodies and broken souls. And as Unitarian Universalists, we're not out there trying to save your soul, we're out there trying to save bodies. Your soul and your spiritual health, we're happy to be on a journey with you, but our important work is to engage those issues that can make this a better world. And incidentally, we believe in the future, and we create faith in the future when, with all of our fears and trepidations, with life and politics as an incomplete information problem, we bestir ourselves to work for or against the candidates of our choice, for or against the propositions and initiatives of our choice. When we care enough, our adversary should not be the person who works against us, but the person who doesn't care, the person who gives up, the person who stays in bed. All of us who can bestir ourselves to be informed and involved, that is an act of important faith that builds a future for tomorrow and reminds us all that we are in this together.